वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सत्वं विचक्ष्य मृग चेष्टितं आत्मनो अन्तः चित्तं नियच्च हृदि कर्ण दुनीं च चित्ते च हि अंगनाश्रम अंगनाश्रमम् असत्तम यूत गातम प्रीनीहि हंस शरणं विरम क्रमेण सत्वं विचक्ष्य मृगचेष्टितमात्मनोऽन्तः चित्तं युगलत् ओके चित्तं नियच्च हृदि कर्णधुनीं च चित्ते च ह्यङ्गनाश्रममसत्तमयूर्पगाथम् प्रीणीहि हंस शरणं विरमक्रमेण. Translation: My dear king, just try to understand the allegorical position of the deer. Be fully conscious of yourself and give up the pleasure of hearing about promotion to heavenly planets by fruitive activity. Give up household life, which is full of sex, as well as stories about such things. And take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the mercy of the liberated souls. In this way, please give up your attraction for material existence. In one of his songs, Srila Narottam Das Thakur writes, Karma kanda jnana kanda kevala bishera bhanda amrita boliya jeva khai nana joni sada pire kadarja bakan kore tar janma adarpate jai. Fruitive activities and mental speculation are mere simply cups of poison. Whoever drinks of them, thinking them to be nectar, must struggle very hard life after life in different types of bodies. Such a person eats all kinds of nonsense and becomes condemned by his activities of so-called sense enjoyment. People are generally enamored of the fruitive results of worldly activity and mental speculation. They generally desire to be promoted to heavenly planets, merge into the existence of Brahman, or keep themselves in the midst of family life, enchanted by the pleasures of the tongue and genitals. The great sage Narada clearly instructs King Varahishman not to remain his entire life in the Grihastha Ashrama. Being in the Grihastha Ashram means being under the control of one's wife. One has to give up all this and put himself into the ashrama of the Paramahansa. That is, put himself under the control of the spiritual master. The Paramahansa ashrama is the ashrama of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whom the spiritual master has taken shelter. The symptoms of the bona fide spiritual master are stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Tasmad guram prapadyeta jigyasuk shaya uttamam. Shabde parecha nishnatam brahman yupashamashrayam. Any person who is seriously desirous of achieving real happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of a spiritual master is that he must have realized the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and arguments, and thus be able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities have taken complete shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. A Paramahansa is one who has taken shelter of the Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one takes shelter of the Paramahansa spiritual master, gradually through training and instruction, he will become detached from worldly life and ultimately return home, back to Godhead. The particular mention of Anganashramam, Asattama Yutagatam, is very interesting. The whole world is in the clutches of Maya, being controlled by woman. Not only is one controlled by the woman who is one's wife, but one is also controlled by so many sex literatures. That is the cause of one's being entangled in the material world. One cannot give up this abominable association through one's own effort, but if one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master who is a Paramahansa, he will gradually be elevated to the platform of spiritual life. The pleasing words of the Vedas that inspire one to elevate oneself to the heavenly planets or merge into the existence of the Supreme are for the less intelligent who are described in Bhagavad Gita as Maya Prakriti Gyanaha, those whose knowledge is taken away by the illusory energy. Real knowledge means understanding the miserable condition of life. So, Srila Prabhupada is referring to the words of Narottam Das Thakur. Prabhupada used to quote this verse a lot. Jnanakanda, karmakanda jnanakanda kevala vishera bhanda. That karmakanda and jnanakanda are simply like some cups of poison, visha, kevala vishera bhanda. So, what does that mean? You know? Amrita balaya jeva kai. So we think that it's nectar, but it's really poison. There are so many ways in which we become tricked by the advertisements of karmakanda or advertisements of jnanakanda. In the Bhagavad Gita, you have this, what's the verse? Pushpitam vacham. Pushpitam vacham. So what is a flowery word? What does it mean, flowery words of the Vedas? What does it mean? And where are those words of the Vedas now? We have to update our understanding what is meant here. Now there are so many, you can see advertisements all over, how to improve your life. How to become a millionaire, how to become perfect in so many ways. So these are modern day Pushpitam Vacham. These are the modern flowery words. What is it meant by flowery? They entice you into thinking that you can make heaven on earth. In America, I don't know, India, I saw some advertisements, but in America we have many magazine articles, self-hypnosis, through many different kinds of processes, you can make yourself into like a superman. The perfect memory, get to become wealthy, become healthy, so many benefits. So these are the modern Pushpitam Vacham. These are the modern flowery words. So when we read this verse, don't just think back to someone's reading Rig Veda. No, these are flowery words means words that are enticing you into a process of attaining perfection by working, by karma. But we take some technique, or we do some process. What are the old processes? Processes that chant some mantra, perform some tapas, and through that you will gain miracles. Your life will become a miracle. Yeah? And now we have different techniques. But it's also the same thing. It's karmakanda. And then we get enticed by that. Yeah, I too can become successful. I too can become. So these are all traps. And jnanakanda, now the rage is university education. So 100 years ago, very few people went to university. Only the elite, upper class, usually the sons went. And a few women went. But the women weren't even allowed in the men's class. Only by permission of the instructor could they go to the men's class. Basically for some young men. Now everyone has to go to college. So this is a kind of lure that education has some power. The education is useful, but it only has a particular place. It should be kept in its own jurisdiction. Yamakanda Gyanakanda Kevala Vishera Bandha Amrita Bulia Jeva Kai. Why are they like cups of poison? Because they simply lead us to another birth. We discussed this yesterday about sexual attraction. the tongue and the genitals, we know from the... Everyone knows that verse by Rupa Goswami. What's the verse? Vacho Vekam. Etan Vekam Yo Vishaheta Dira. So all these six kinds of urges. Are we aware of these urges? This is a practice for every day. That when you walk, whatever you do, you can feel those urges. To eat, to look, to taste, to talk. We always want to talk. We talked yesterday about having shoes. Instead of lining the path, the treacherous path, the thorny path with pillows, you can have a right pair of shoes and walk. So this verse, this is the pair of shoes. This is the one who has learned to control these six urges is called Goswami. Someone who's controlled his senses. So generally, when we walk in the world, we are controlled by our environment through the objects of the senses. We are controlled by our senses right now. We are under the sway of our sense impressions. And the environment is controlling our senses. So actually, we are always under the control of the environment. Goswami is just the opposite. Because he has controlled his senses, therefore he controls his environment. Or let's say he is independent of his environment. This is called Goswami. So anywhere he can go in the world, prithivim sasheshyat, sarvamapi mam prithivim sasheshyat, he can teach the whole world. He can chastise the whole world. He can control in a way. Why? Because he's controlled his six urges. Until we control those urges, we are always at the mercy of our environment. One is luring us to look. The other is luring us to taste. One object is luring us to the genitals, the stomach. Anger. Krodhavegam. And the manas becomes involved with so many theories. One way or the other, the environment will control us through these six urges. So when we become gradually aware, if we become quiet through devotional practice, we can and become attentive to these urges, we can feel them one by one, and we just visheheta, we just tolerate them. It's the same lesson as in Matra Sparshastu Konteya Shitoshna Sukadukkada Agama Paino Nityas Angstitikshas Pabharata. In the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, Krishna says that the one who is, all the time the senses are connecting with the object of the senses and they're making us happy or sad, hot or cold. We're feeling these impressions. Heat, cold, happiness, distress. But these are very coming and going. Chitikshasva, tolerate them. Same concept. Saha, sah dhatu is the same, has the same meaning. Chitikshasva, to tolerate them. And one person who is able to tolerate, then amritatvaya kalpate, he becomes fit for immortality. It's the same as this verse, vacho vegam, manasakrodha vegam. Same meaning. So, this is the start. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has one book, Tattva Sutra. In that book he talks about pratyahara. Pratyahara. You know what pratyahara is? Well, yeah, you can say controlling senses. Actually, ahara is eating. Yeah? And pratyahara is controlling the eating. Eating through the senses. It's one of the stages in yoga from the Patanjali Yoga system. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara. Pratyahara is the fifth stage. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a few sutras about Pratyahara. He said Pratyahara is necessary for everyone, some kind of Pratyahara. For a student, for exam, he must practice Pratyahara. If he's always thinking, how can he study? For the yogi, it's necessary. For the jnani, it's necessary. For the karmi, it's necessary. For the devotee, also necessary. Some pratyahara. Must stop trying to swallow all the objects of the senses, to grasp them. So in the same way, this is a beginning. And he says pratyahara is the beginning of things. If we don't have pratyahara, then everything is lost. We just be kind of a vacuum cleaner for the sense objects, you know, eat and excrete. Just kind of like an animal machine. So this is the start. And now Srila Prabhupada talks here about the Paramahansa ashram, and that being the ashram of the spiritual master, who is directly connected to the Supreme Lord. And he quotes the symptoms of spiritual master. So everyone knows this verse. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyasuk shaya uttamam. Prabhupada used to quote this verse many, many times. Jigyasuk shaya uttamam. Who should approach a spiritual master? One who, in whom there is a desire to know shreya. You know, there's two words, praya and shreya. In the Upanishads, in Munduka Upanishad. Shreya and praya. One, prayer is what we want, what we desire. Shreya is what's actually good for us. So we have to give up prayer and look only for Shreya. And then this is the Uttama Shreya, the highest benefit for us, the highest thing which is really good for us. Jigyasu. So one who wants to know that, he should go to a spiritual master. Prabhupada used to say that one who approaches a spiritual master should have some questions. He said if he doesn't have questions, he says, then you waste your time, you waste my time. Many times he said that. I heard at least 5, 6, 7, 8 times. He said, you coming here, you should have some question. If you don't have question for the spiritual master, you simply waste his time, you waste your time. So this is from this verse, Jigyasu Kshayottamam. One whose desire should approach. Means one who does not have a desire should not approach. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta. What does tasmad mean? Therefore. So what is before?
Human form.
Huh?
Human form.
Therefore. So what is there before? Therefore, one whose desire should approach a spiritual master. So we have to go to the previous verse. We always think of this verse, but the previous verse. No? What's the previous verse to this? So when you go to Bhagavatam, look up the previous verse. The verse before this, in 11th canto, talks about the realization that all the work one does, it simply amounts to nothing in the end. It's just like going around in a circle. Going around in a useless circle. And when one realizes it, tasmad, then, therefore, one should approach a spiritual master. So that means one who is desirous of the highest Shreya, he has to have some, we call it cultural maturity. If you don't have cultural maturity, if you can't see through this culture to some extent, then you're still mugda. You're still just another person in illusion. The illusion is very deep. We spoke about this before, that janmaishvarya shuta shri bir edamana madakh puman naivar hatya vidatam vai svam akinchana gocharam. Prabhupada used to quote this verse a lot too, from first canto, the prayers of Queen Kunti. Janmaishvarya shuta shri bir edamana madakh puman. A person whose mada, whose madness is edamana, is increased by Janma, Aishvarya, Shruta, and Shri. By his birth, thinking I'm my family, my grandfather, my distinguished grandfather, my great lineage, you know, because of his family, his conceit is increased, his madness. And Aishvarya, some wealth, because he has wealth, he's always thinking that I am something, because of Shruta, because of his education, BA, MA, PhD, thinking I know something, or because of Shri, beauty, personal beauty. These four things are always increasing the mada, the madness. Such a man, naivar hatya bidatam vai, he is not able to call upon you. Vama kinchana gocharam. You are the property of those who have nothing. So the ego is so strong, it's always seizing upon ways in which to strengthen itself, to reinforce itself. And we always think, my family, you know, we aren't familiar with these things. So it requires some cultural maturity. Cultural maturity means to see through the facade, the glittery facade of the culture. Sometimes, you know, the old filmy movie, the mythological movies, Indian movies, mythological movies. And you see Narayan, and he comes, or Shiva and the trident. You can see it's made out of some kind of, like, looks like paper mache or something. But halo is whirling around. But you can see wires or something whirling around. But it's wobbly. You know, we can tell it's not a real halo, you know, not a real sphere. This is just some fake, like a costume. So we should see through the culture like that. Take a name, Harvard University. It kind of has a glitter to it, it's shiny. Harvard University. We have to be able to see through each one of these cultural institutions to see how empty it is in the end. You can take any name, you can throw out the name, you know, Amitabh Bachchan or something. Where was the passport? We have this, you know, George Harrison. We have these, you know, everything has a glitter to it in the culture. So we still have a place in our heart for this. Oh, where did they go? Were they here? Where's they? Should I? Yeah, maybe I can be in the picture with them. This is a lure for material mada, material madness. So we have to look carefully in our heart. We still have some places where we would also like to be sitting in the same picture. You know, some movie star came. Oh, yes, special. But we should treat everyone the same. We should have a different view. We should reverse our view. Cultural maturity, to be able to see through this. As long as we still have some admiration for the material culture. Now, we should respect everything. We should have respect. We should respect everyone. Even someone comes from anything here, we should offer respect to everyone. But we should be, we also are realistic in our heart. And that we see through, we're not bound by an admiration for all these material things. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta. After that, you approach a spiritual master. After your jigyasu shreya uttamam. All this is prayer. Anything to do in the culture is prayer. It's what's pleasing to us. Cultural maturity. You have to get some cultural maturity to see that not only in this life, but in many lives, you can go around and around and around and around, and you go up, sometimes down, another up. The previous verse in Bhagavatam describes this. How whatever you do, you may obtain some happiness, but the happiness is always disappointing in the end. No matter what it is. So, tasmad gurum prapadyeta. We have to be disabused in our mind about the benefits of this material world. Okay? Jigyasu shreya uttamam shabde pare chanishnatam. One should approach a spiritual master who's what? What is his qualification? Prabhupada says the qualification is he must have realized the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and arguments, and thus be able to convince others of those conclusions. So there are two Brahmas mentioned here. Two Brahmas. Shabda Brahma and Para Brahma. One must be Nishnata in Shabda Brahma and also in Para Brahma. What does that mean? So Nishnata can mean Kovida, expert in Shabda Brahma. Shabda Brahma means the Vedas and the books that explain the Vedas. Vede Tatparya Nirnayake Shastra. In the Veda and in the Shastra which explains the Tatparya of the Veda. This is the meaning of the Shabda Brahma. And the spiritual master must be expert in understanding the meaning of the scripture. Why? Why can't he just be mad with the holy name walking around? Why can't he just be chanting and so pure and he touches you and you go into ecstasy? Why does it say he should be expert in scriptures? Because the position of the guru is that he has to teach. And the position of the disciple is that the mental furniture is disarranged. Our minds, our mental furniture is in disorder. It's not in the order of the cosmic principles of the universe. Not in the order, not Ishavasya, not God-centered. All kinds of doubts, misconceptions, superstitions. So it is necessary for the spiritual master to be able to deal with our minds. And he does that through the process of question and answer. Spiritual master means that he has a teaching function to perform. Teaching function of the spiritual master is different from teaching function of a book. Book can never be a guru. Guru has to be physical. He should be real. Some people say, when your spiritual master passes away, still, once your spiritual master, always your spiritual master, that's all you need. That's not true. That's a mistake. Spiritual master has two functions. One is initiation, initiating and teaching about the, instructing the method of worship. The other is teaching. teaching everything. So a spiritual master must be physically present to teach. He can't be disembodied. You must have someone who is actually there. If someone has a spiritual master and the spiritual master passes away before you are mature, then you have to take another Shiksha Guru. Doesn't mean Diksha Guru, but you must always have Shiksha Guru. When do you no longer need a Guru? When? When there's no longer a chance that you can go on the wrong way. That's when. And when is that? That is when the mind is completely purified in Shuddha Sattva. Until that time is reached, the mind is a mixture of Sattvas, Tamas and Rajas. In that state, when you read Bhagavatam, you mutilate it with your mind. Immediately you read it, you begin to mutilate it in your mind. Because the Rajas and the Tamas are chewing it. Eating, devouring it. As long as your mind is still influenced by Rajas and Tamas, then when it comes the time to make a decision whether to go right or left, who knows which way you'll go? Because you're being influenced by the modes of material nature. So until you're completely purified, then a spiritual master, at least from the negative side, a spiritual master is necessary. But what do you mean by spiritual master? Someone who is physically present. Who can speak to you? When you ask a question, who can answer you? Some people say everything is in the book. Much is in the book, but the book is always passive. The book cannot talk back, but a spiritual master can talk back. So when anyone who's been around a spiritual master knows that as soon as you say something, then he'll say no. It's this way. He'll correct you. That's necessary. That is the way the mental furniture becomes corrected. Otherwise, when you read a book, you can take some, leave some. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has an essay. He talks about two kinds of readers. There's actually three kinds of readers. One kind of reader reads only for his own enjoyment. And that which he likes, he takes. And that which he finds not nice, he leaves. This is one kind of reader. This is the bogey. The second kind of reader is a critic. Everything he sees, he tries to criticize, to negate. It's a negative attitude. This is the tyagi. Bogey and the tyagi. The third kind of reader is the jigyasu shreya uttamam. Everything he is looking for his ultimate benefits. Everything he sees there, he tries to serve it. He's reading with the attitude of service. How will this help my service? And he's becoming continuously purified. But we all have these tendencies to boga and tyaga. We have the tendencies to look at this and try to squeeze out of it something for our own self. And then it just strengthens our false ego. The spiritual master is there to continuously cut with a knife. Atotuk sangam utsrija satsu saj jeta buddhiman santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibi. This is a famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Atotuk sangam utsrija. Therefore, duk sangam utsrija. Completely abandon all bad association. Satsu saj jeta buddhiman. The intelligent person with saj jeta becomes completely attached to the saj. To the sat, satsu sajjeta, to the sadhus. Sat means sadhu. Satsu sajjeta buddhiman. A buddhiman, someone with actual intelligence, shreya uttamam, jigyasu, who is looking for his best welfare, this kind of buddhiman, satsu sajjeta, he becomes attached to the feet of the sadhus. Then what happens? Santa eva sya chindanti. The saints alone, santa eva. Chindanti, they cut manovya sangam, the wrong desires in the mind. Uktibi, with their words. What's his weapon? Santi Eva Sichinda. What's the saint's weapon? Ukti B. With his words, he's cutting. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati comments on this verse. He says, just like he says, you come to the sadhu, you bring in your black goats to be sacrificed. The black goats in your mind. And he's cutting off their heads one by one. That's his job. So this is the teaching function of the guru. In the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that then there's two sticks, an upper stick, an upper arani and a lower arani, and then a middle arani. And through these two sticks, by turning them, one gets fire. And this is how true knowledge comes about. This is a verse in the 11th canto. Through churning the three sticks, the top stick, the bottom stick, and the middle stick, churning them, then through the friction, fire comes out. So the Vishnu Chakravarti says, this is how vidya is produced. The upper stick is the spiritual master. The lower stick is the disciple. In between is there back and forth, questions and answers, questions and answers. And through this interaction, this is samsar gena. He says it's only guru shishya samsar gena, by the interaction between the disciples and the friction of questions and answers, then vidya is produced, knowledge. What is the knowledge? That knowledge that is the correct arrangement of our mental furniture, simply. The clarity of mind. But that clarity of mind has to come about through this interaction. He says it's only samsara gyanaiva. Only through this interaction do we get real knowledge. That means questions and answers. Questions that you say, and then he says, no. Read again, and he gives you a better answer. So this physical presence is necessary. There must be someone there to say, no. Someone who's disappeared from this world can't say no. We can hear in a dream, we can hear, that's something else. But until the mind is purified to the extent where you can't go wrong, you need someone there who can guide you. So this is shiksha, this is the shiksha guru function. All the relationships with guru come under the umbrella of sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha is the big term. Sadhu Sangha in the form of association with Diksha Guru, Sadhu Sangha association with the Shiksha Guru. It's all Sadhu Sangha. So we are clear. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sava Shastre Koi. Lavamatru Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Koi. Always we're asked again, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu, always associate with Sadhus. So where is the point where there's no Guru? Guru in the sense of either Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru. Shiksha Guru means hearing. Shravana Guru, then another synonym for Shiksha Guru is Shravana Guru. From whom you hear. So that should go on and on and on and on. And there must be opportunity for that interaction. Otherwise, many doubts remain. So in this verse, Shabde Pare Chanishnatam Brahman Yuprashimashra, it says the first quality of Guru is to become expert in Shabda Brahma. Brahma in the form of sound. What does that mean? Vede tatpayade nayaka shastre cha. In the expert in the Veda and those scriptures which explain the Veda. Vishnu Chakravarti comments on this verse. He says, if the guru is not expert in the shastra, then when there's some doubt arises in the mind of the disciple and the doubt is not cleared, not resolved, then gradually his shraddha shaitalyam pervades. His faith becomes slackened. And then he falls down. So this first qualification is very important. He should be, must have realized the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and argument, just be able to convince others of these conclusions. So his answers are convincing. He can tell you, you can say, this is the explanation of the scriptures. And then the doubts are cleared in the mind, mental furniture. Then second qualification of guru, pare brahmani nishnatam, means he's actually realized the Supreme Brahma. Shabda Brahma, Para Brahma. Two Brahmas are mentioned here. Shabde Pare Chanishnatam Brahmani. In Brahma in the form of sound, and Brahma in the form of the Supreme Reality. So he must also have realized that. Sakshatkar. Then, when he gives you the... it says, Vishnu Chakravarti says, his kripa is Phalavati. Samyak Phalavati. Then you experience, you get the full benefit of the mercy of the Supreme through the spiritual master, because he's become totally realized. And Upashamashrayam. What is the symptom? You see, these are the qualities of the spiritual master. Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta. Therefore one should approach the spiritual master. Said, who is the spiritual master? Shabde Param Vrechanishnatam. He has this connection, he has a realization of the Supreme, and he has knowledge of the scriptures, deep knowledge. Then how can you tell if someone has realization? You can tell if someone is learned in the scriptures because you can ask him a question. He either knows it or he doesn't know it. But how can you test whether someone is realized? There's two qualifications. He's expert in the scriptures. You can test that. You can ask him some question. He knows or he doesn't know. His answer is convincing or it's not convincing. But the second qualification for being the spiritual master is that he's realized. In the Supreme, it says, Pare Brahmani Nishnatam. How can you tell? Upashamashrayam. Prabhupada translate as, he's taken complete shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations. So that we have to see practically. That's the test. Is he taken complete shelter? So this is a verse Srila Prabhupada, we discussed today a little about it. It's a verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted a lot. Okay, the pleasing words of the Vedas inspire one to elevate one of the heavenly planets or merge in the existence of the Supreme are for the less intelligent. Now, Prabhupada talks here in the end about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta introduced some innovations. Generally, the Babaji's and previous sadhus of this the Gaudiya Sampradaya lived in a very simple way. They wore a short dress and they lived by begging. And they lived in some kuti somewhere or under a tree. Not in a very... But Bhakti Siddhanta, he says, perhaps for the first time introduce palatial buildings and motor cars just to attract the general public in big cities. The main fact is that one has to associate with a saintly person. In this age, people are not going to search out a saint in the forest, so the saints and sages have to come to the big cities to make arrangements to receive the people in general who are accustomed to the modern amenities of material life. Gradually, such persons will learn that palatial buildings or comfortable apartments are not at all necessary. The real necessity is to become free from material bondage in whatever way possible. So, this was a big innovation. The sadhus never rode in automobiles. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, there was a car purchased, he rode in a car. In Gaudiya Mutt, in Bagh Bazar, Calcutta, big marble mutt. And this was to encourage people to sit and listen to Harikatha, to associate with the sadhus, to make sadhus available. Srila Prabhupada used to say that his spiritual master, he always wanted the temple to be in the city. It shouldn't be even 5 kilometers outside the city. It should be right where people are. He didn't like places that were outside the cities. He felt they should be available to the ordinary person to come easily and listen to Harikatha. Now, this sometimes in some people this creates a contradiction. We're supposed to live a very simple life. We're supposed to accept whatever comes. But why Have you taken the trouble of making this temple in Chaupati? Why? So, Rupa Goswami's verse is very interesting. Srila Prabhupada quotes here, Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatarhamapagunjataha Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. So, what is Vairagya? What is renunciation? And of course, there are two different things, Falgu Vairagya and Yukta Vairagya. Falgu is the false renunciation. This is Yukta Vairagya. What does it mean? It means that Upayunjataha, using Yatarham correctly, according to some purpose, the Vishayas, by one who is an Asakta, who is non attached. Endeavor in this way, in the relationship to Krishna, this is called Yukta Vairagya. This is called real Vairagya. One thing is to give up the Vishayas entirely. But Rupa Goswami doesn't recommend that. He says he feels that everything in this world is relationship to Hari. Everything is a Hari Sambandhi Vastu. If we have the view that every Vastu here is Hari Sambandhi, is connected to Hari, then it's worshipable. In the old days, you know, there was a typewriter in the New York apartment. Old the typewriter that Srila Prabhupada used. And Hayagriva one time was sitting there and he had his foot and his foot was on the typewriter. Prabhupada said, take your foot off the typewriter. This is just a typewriter, Swamiji. No. This now is being used in the service of Krishna. You should respect it. It's a upakarana, sevopakarana for Krishna. Then Prabhupada taught at that time that anything we use for the service of Krishna is worthy of respect. So we should see everything that way. Everything we use in Krishna's service. And that way it changes our view of the entire world. We said yesterday that the environment, there's nothing wrong with the environment. What's wrong is our mental furniture. It's our attitude towards this world. That we have an attitude of seva bahirmukh. Hari bahirmukh. Krishna bahirmukh. That we have turned our face away from service. And now we have to be sevon mukh. We have to have a positive attitude towards service. If we have that, if we change our attitude, then everything is okay. Hari Sambandhi Vastunaha. Every object in the material world has a relationship to God. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatarham Upayunjatam. And as we use each object, Yatarham, according to a proper purpose, not just to enjoy it whimsically, we have to examine what the word Yatarham means there. We have to be very careful. Anasaktasya, and without being attached, with no asakti, then this is called Yukta Vairagya. Okay, so thank you very much. Any question? Yes.
Shabde Brahman Vishaya. You mentioned about Shabde Brahman Nishnatam.
Shabde.
So, when Prabhupada started ISKCON, it is very easy to become well versed in Shastras, Shabde. But to realize Supreme Lord, it takes a lot of time and difficulty. To realize, realization comes after a long time.
Realization comes after a long time. You can learn the Shastras.
So, to be a spiritual master, Prabhupada, then as soon as the disciples joined, he made them initiating gurus. So, is it that a spiritual master has to be realized, or the different levels of spiritual master?
I don't think anyone was made spiritual master just immediately. No. And everything has to be taken also in terms of time and place. So we're not talking about meeting Vedantists. If someone is preaching in Australia, there's certain things they have to know. But there's other things they don't need to know. There's no need for them to know Nyaya. Take Nyaya out. No need to know Vyakarana. Take Vyakarana out. It's necessary to have some Bandhagyana. And some Bandhagyana as a theory, as a concept, and then to have it as a practical realization. So according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, some Bandhagyana means three things. Involves three entities. Bhagavan, Jiva, and Vishwa. The God, the living entity, and the material world. Three entities. So we, Sambandhagyana means we must understand the Sambandha between each of these three. We must understand the relationship between God and the living entity. Relationship between the living entity and the material world. Relationship between God and the material world. These three, the relationships between these three is called Sambandhagyana. So the whole knowledge, or the beginning knowledge, this is Sambandhagyana. Then of course there's other, again, there's also knowledge of Abhideya, means how the devotional process. But the basic constitutional knowledge is called Sambandhagyana. It's a relationship between these three. So we can have a simple understanding or a more complex understanding. Complex understanding is better because it's more scientific. But even a unlearned person, even an illiterate person, can have some understanding, conceptual, of the relationship between God and the living entity, between the living entity and material world, between God and the material world. Even if it's in a very simple way, in one sentence, you can make what the relationship is. For instance, between God and the living entity, in one sentence you can say that the Jiva is a Krishna Nityadas. And if one just, some person somewhere, a housemaid, who has no education, but she tries to practice that every day, her relationship to God, she can become a guru. No knowledge of logic, no knowledge, but just she knows this one thing, and she realizes it practically. And then relationship between jivas and material, every day, Prabhupada used to learn, you know, he'd come out and look. Every day he'd learn something new from what he saw. And he'd always refer to some verse from Shastra. Oh, this is, you know, drinking water even every time. I'm tasting, this taste of the water is Krishna. You know, very practical. We see grass. You think, you know, always referring to his understanding of the relationship between the living entity and God, between God and the material world, between the living entities. So that's necessary. But that knowledge can be in a simple form or more complex form. But that must be there. Then realization. That's another way. Realization should be there. But even sometimes it isn't there, then something can happen. It depends upon how transparent the person is. But everything according to circumstances. Just like the example I gave, for preaching in Africa or Western countries, one doesn't need to know Vedanta. But some basics of Bhagavad Gita, and just these three things, if one has that down, you can teach other people. Even a few shlokas, if you know, you could teach others. Sometimes, those people with less theoretical knowledge, but they have a simple understanding, it's much more profound. The big scholar will come to them to learn what is the relationship between God and the living entity. He has so many sentences, paragraphs, axioms, but then he comes and now, oh yeah, he's surprised by the freshness of the answer he gets from a very simple person. So that's also possible. But still the knowledge is there. It's just not in such a verbal form. It's not so complex, but it's very deep. So this also is thing. But yet, that person who doesn't have the conceptual knowledge, his capacity to teach as guru will also be limited. Because he can't clear everyone's doubts. And sometimes that guru, if that person becomes a guru, that person can also be a guru, but they will send their disciple to someone else to learn the concept. Usually, you'll find that. He'll say, I'm not equipped to teach you all the Bhagavad Gita, so go to this person, and they'll teach you. But the real thing is coming from that person who doesn't know so much. He just knows the basics, but the basics are very deep. But the real knowledge is coming from him. Just think of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Actually, he was illiterate. And Bhaktisiddhanta, this was the contrast, that Bhaktisiddhanta was so learned, but his guru was illiterate. Isn't that amazing? But yet that guru, his realization was so deep of everything, but based on such a simple understanding. But then, he can teach something, but he can't teach everything.
Mentions about karma kanda and jnana kanda, but many a times this third thing, upasana kanda, somewhere Prabhupada mentions it is demigod worship and sometimes it is bhakti. How do we use that?
That depends on who you speak to. People have different concepts of upasana kanda. It depends on what your eyes, what your vision is. The Vaishnava vision actually is that all the demigods are merely the manifestations of the Supreme Lord, ultimately. So for someone who has that vision, and they mention worship this demigod, he doesn't see demigod, he sees aspect of the Supreme. For someone who sees that the demigod is separate, then the devotees condemn that. Na pujibo devi deva. For Madhvacharya, when he looks at the Vedas, Shripad Madhvacharya, according to Madhvacharya, every name in the Veda is a name of Hari. In his interpretation of the Veda, he'll take a word like Agni. He says Agni has three levels of understanding. The first meaning of the word Agni is the material element, fire. The second level of the word Agni is the celestial meaning, the demigod Agni. The third meaning of Agni, the third level of the word Agni, is the Supreme Lord. And he has Dera derives the word Agni etymologically to mean the supreme leader from Ni Nayati. And he has a way in which he derives that. So some other people have also adopted that way of seeing all the names in the Veda as at different levels. Each word having, so from Avacharya it has at least three levels. You can read the verse at the level of the material fire. You can read the verse at the demigod level and see it. Or you can look at it, if you have the eyes to see, that every word there refers directly to Vishnu as Supreme Lord. So for him, Upasana Kanda is no problem. That it just refers to Rig Samartha. What's that verse? Rig Yajuksam Arthur Vash Bharatam Pancharatrakam Mularamaya Nanchaiva Sarvatra Hadigiyate. Something like that. I think it's maybe it's Rig Yajuksam Arthur, or something like that. Bharate Pancharatrake Mularame Anaichaiva Sarvatra Hadigiyate. That everywhere, in all these scriptures, everywhere, means every word, every sentence, that Hadigiyate. That Hari alone is being praised. So he takes that seriously. He says, every word here, there must be a level at which everything is on the level of Brahman. And then if you see it at a lower level, that means your eyesight is still a bit jaundiced. That you're not really reading it at the level it should be, but that a rishi would read it at which it was supposed to be understood. That it's still diseased. Then for other people, they would see that Upasana Kanda as a Devi Deva Puja, and that's Heya. It's not to be done. It's kind of non-devotional. So that depends. For Madhvacharya, the Vedas are completely pure. Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistrigunya Bhavajana. So generally we interpret as Trigunya Vishaya Veda. The Vedas relate to the three gunas. But Madhvacharya's interpretation is Trigunya Vishaya Veda. Ya means to take away. And Visha means poison. And a Trigunya means the three gunas. Trigunya Vishaya Veda. The Vedas take away the poison of the three gunas. So for him, the Vedas, everything is completely pure. So they're different ways of viewing. So we respect these acharyas. They had their view. So that was the view of Madhvacharya. So for him, Upasana Kanda is fine. They penetrate through and they see only Vishnu in every mention of a demigod's name. But generally, what is said here, the doubts must be cleared. You see how that's supposed to work. Then there's, as they say, there's exceptions in certain cases. It depends on where the spiritual master is working. It depends upon the mission. This is general rule. And that's how it works. Mind has to be purified. Mind has to be, doubts have to be taken away. One way or the other. Sometimes the spiritual master will come into a situation where the culture is not very advanced. So then he has other work to do. He may have to do cutting down trees before you can plant. Before you can plant the rice, before you can plant corn, you have to cut down the trees first. You have to clear the jungle. So sometimes they have to come clear the jungle. And there's not much time for going into Shastra principles. They have to deal in a very simple way. That still is Sambandha Jnana, but it's not so complex. It's not university level. It's not even high school level. Remember when Srila Prabhupada went to Africa, I was on the plane. He said, now we go to the brutes. So Africa, they're not interested in Vedanta. Someone's preaching in Eskimos. To adopt the preaching. In America, in the beginning, some people are interested in understanding the principles. But the original attraction was chanting. Take prasad. And it was hard to teach people philosophy. Prabhupada said it, sometimes it's like taking a coal, washing the coal. How do you wash coal? He said you can wash until the coal disappears. It just keeps dirt keeps coming and coming. He said sometimes working with Westerners is like washing a piece of charcoal. Washing a charcoal. It's just black coming out until there's no end to it. Any other? Yeah, we should go. What time is it? Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. Hare Krishna.